you, brother. Amen. I appreciate that. Well, it's a joy to be back in the tabernacle again tonight. I trust you've had a good day. And thank God for the privilege to be back in the heat. And we got several visitors tonight. The Gnats showed up tonight, praise God. And we're glad, I guess we're just glad that they didn't bring no mosquitoes with them, praise God. But anyway, it's a blessing to be here. And trust that the meeting has been a help to you thus far. And our heart's desires to be a help to you. And trust that God will use the word of God. I understand within myself I can do nothing to help you. But I'm glad the Lord, through his word, will help us all. If we'll receive his word, it'll work on us, praise God. If it finds a lodging place in your heart, it'll work beyond the meeting. It'll go to the house with you. It'll work while you're on your job and at the school, wherever you might be. I'm glad that that's the way it works, and I appreciate the preaching of the Word of God, and thank God for this day. You be much in prayer for the remainder of the meeting, and of course tonight up at the house, they're having church up there without me. That kind of hurts your ego as a pastor when they can have church without you. Praise God, mine does that quite often because I stay gone a whole lot. And but you know what? It's helped me to tolerate them and helped them to tolerate me, being gone a little bit every now and then. And I appreciate the Lord. I got some good help, some good preachers there in the church that helped in the work there with me. And I'm thankful for those who labor together in the work of God. And I appreciate that tonight. And you be much in prayer, Lord willing. Maybe some of my family will be down Saturday in the meeting with us on Saturday night, and looking forward to seeing my family. Praise the Lord. I miss them, amen. But anyway, it's good to be here. If you have your Bible, turn with us to the book of Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. And I'm going to give you a brief message tonight. Some of y'all, your ears perked up when I said brief, amen. And you say, oh, I've heard preachers lie before. Praise the Lord. I'll try to be brief. A long time ago, I figured out that if you can't preach good, at least preach short and they'll like you better. Praise the Lord. And amen. Amen. You can tolerate a bad message if it's short. Praise God. I've heard some real good ones went long, and I about had all I could handle of that. Amen. But anyway, I hope we can be a blessing to you. Praise God. In the, some of y'all still trying to figure me out. And I'm just an old country boy from the hills of Tennessee. And just try to be obedient to the Lord. I'm a little different. I don't try to be some other preacher. I just got to be who God made me. And God does have a sense of humor. He really does. If you don't believe that, go home, look in the mirror. Praise the Lord. He made us all, and he's got a sense of humor. Amen. Matthew chapter number 11. And let's stand as we read three verses from the Word of God. Matthew chapter number 11. And verse number 28, very familiar verses tonight that I'm going to be reading. And, of course, the words of our Savior here. Verse number 28, Matthew chapter number 11 says this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Father, we thank you tonight for the reading of your word, and I pray, Lord, tonight that you would bless the reading of your word in this place. Lord, we thank you for this privilege you've allowed us to be here once again. And Lord, for every church that's represented here tonight, every local body of believers that's gathered here, Lord, I pray tonight may we receive something that will help every individual body. Lord, those that have gathered here tonight, would you help every pastor? Lord, help every child of God, every Christian in this place to receive something from your word tonight. Lord, as the dear preacher used to say, help us to find our place in the message. And God, I pray, would you help us to receive your word gladly tonight in this place. And Father, we'll give you praise, honor, and glory, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Very familiar verses that I've read tonight. Of course, the words of our Savior, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm thankful for the day that I heard that message. I'm thankful for the day that when I was laboring and toiling in sin, I heard a message that said, come unto me. And I'm glad that, praise God, that that message is still in effect today. No matter what you're going through or what, where you've been in life, what station you may hold in life, I'm glad that call is still going out to lost people today, to sinners today. And I'm thankful for the day that I heard that call and I came and gave my life to Jesus. But I was reading this one day, and Of course, I've read this so many times and heard preachers preach from it. But here, of course, we see the verse 28. He says, come unto me, all you that labor. And then in verse 29, my interest became, intrigued there in verse number 29. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You see, there was not just the coming part to Christ, but there was something else that he's speaking to us about here. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest into your souls. And then he repeats in verse 30, he said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I begin to get interested in that word yoke there. I begin to be interested. I begin to do a little bit of study. Of course, in Bible days, of course, anybody that knew about farming and the beasts of burden that they would carry loads in Bible days, they had what they had called a yoke that they would put upon the oxen's neck. That it was a wooden piece that they would put upon the necks of the animals that was used in service to their master. In other words, it was a harness type thing that they would put on. I began to do a little bit of root word study on that word yoke, and it comes from a Greek word that means to join together, especially a coupling together for servitude. I thought about that. Here he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And then he says, I got some work I want you to do. And in order to do that work, you got to hook up with me. You got to get in the yoke with me. He said, you got, now this is not a forced yoke. He's not going to make you serve him. He's not going to make you work for him. But he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I begin to think about that. I remember growing up as a boy in the hills of Tennessee when I was just a little boy. My daddy had a little farm there, and sometimes in the mountains, the terrain was so steep you couldn't use a tractor. And my daddy had some horses that, when it come time to go out into the field, he'd always take the horses and put them in the barn and put a harness on them and get them ready to go out to the field to be used in the field. I thought about that. You know, there was never a harvest unless there was first a harness. You know what the problem with most of our churches today is? We're expecting to see a harvest in the church. Ain't nobody wanting to get in the harness, though. I mean, we're wanting to see sinners come, but they ain't nobody willing to labor in the field for God. I begin to think about that. I'm preaching on this subject tonight, if I could please, on the harness of God. I don't know if you're in it tonight or not. You say, preacher, I've been saved. Well, he said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. But then he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm glad for the day that not only I got saved, but the day I said, Lord, here I am. I want to be used of you, and God, whatever it takes, whatever you want to do, I'm willing to hook up with you. Amen. I thought about that. You see that harness deal? The reason it says my yoke is easy and my burden's light is this. When you get in the harness with God, he's the one that does the pulling. You just walk beside him every day. I thought about that. My daddy, he'd always get them horses out. Matter of fact, I brought a piece of harness with me tonight, and I've got it back here in the back of the... My brother-in-law gave you this, and I brought this to illustrate this message. And some of y'all are going to think I'm strange, but that's all right. I am. I brought an old piece of harness with me. Matter of fact, if I can get it all straightened out here, my brother-in-law, it's an old bridle that... I got to looking at that thing, and the more I looked at it, as long as the face is on that thing, I got some church members that would fit
on Sunday morning when they come in. That old long-faced look that they have, you know, Brother Maccabee, I know y'all ain't got none of them in South Carolina that come in and look like a mule eating sawbriars. I mean, they come in looking so sad and so long-faced, and I begin to think about that. My daddy, when he'd get ready to get to use those horses, he would take them into the barn, and he'd put that harness on them. You see, those animals were going to be used in the field by the master. That should be the desire of every child of God, that God would use your life. Now, not everybody's called to the same field. Not everybody's called to the same work, but God has something for every child of God to do, but you'll never accomplish it in your Christian life until you say, Lord, here I am. I'm going to take your yoke upon me. I'm going to serve you and love you and labor for you and give you glory with my life. I begin to think about that harness. You say, preacher, what is the harness of God? There's two things that will equip you to be used of the master. First of all, the Spirit of Almighty God. You got to be filled with the Spirit of God if you're going to be used in the field of the master. Amen. Let me tell you something right now. There's a lot of people out trying to do the work of God that, they don't have no touch of the Spirit on their life. Let me tell you something right now. The Spirit of God can accomplish more in 5 minutes than you can in 5 years. Amen. In the energy of the flesh. I tell you, if there's ever been a need in our churches today, it's people filled with the Spirit of Almighty God. We wonder why we ain't got a lot of shouting in these days. We ain't got a lot of folks filled with the Spirit. Amen. Hey, you said, boy, they used to shout back in the day. And yeah, some of them's filled with the Spirit too. Them little old granny women at the house during the day talking with God all day long. Then when they got to church, you didn't have to pump them and prime them when they got to the house of God. I got news for you. Praise God. I want to get in the harness, hook up with Him, enjoy the good things of God. Hallelujah to His name. Got to have the Spirit of God. Number two, you got to have the Word of God in your life. I mean, it's got to be in you. I tell you, there's a lot of people today, praise God, they never read their Bible. They never study the Word of God. They never listen to anything. They never take anything in. Then they wonder why God ain't using them in their Christian service. I got news for you, praise God. You ain't going to be used unless you get in that book and that book gets in you. Amen. I'll tell you one thing right now. We need to get in the harness and hook up with God tonight. Say, preacher, why do we need the harness? I'm going to give you these quickly tonight and I'm done. Number one, God's harness is for our discipline. My daddy would put that harness on those animals, and you see, those animals, even though he was going to take them out to work, have an old wild nature that had to be brought into subjection before they could ever be used in the field. In other words, They couldn't just do what they wanted to do. They had to be brought into the submission to do what the master wanted them to do. My daddy, he'd grab that old bridle up and he'd put it on them horses. And the reason I talk about discipline, you see, on this bridle, it's got something called bits on it. And that goes, of course, in the horse's mouth. I ain't never seen a horse, when he saw one of these coming, just open his mouth and grin real big and said, "Here I am." No, he's like most Baptists on Sunday morning when you're trying to preach to him, sitting there gritting his teeth, saying, "Praise God, put her in there if you can." Amen. I'll tell you one thing right now. Hey, you know why we don't want it? Because let me tell you something right now. You've got an old wild nature. Even after you've been saved, you've got enough Adam in your flesh, praise God, to cause you to run wild. Unless it's subdued, unless it's brought under subjection by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. You know what'll keep you from going out and getting drunk tonight? Tonight, being filled with the Spirit of God and in the Word of God. Amen. I'll tell you one thing right now. I'll tell you what brings the old nature in subjection. It's when we hook up in the harness with God. Amen. Discipline. You know what the first thing that comes into subjection on that animal when this goes on it? Its mouth. I know a lot of Baptist folk that need to get in the harness and get their mouth under control. Amen. That is good preaching, even if I am doing it, praise God. Amen. I'm telling you what, we've kind of been soothing you up a little bit the first three or four, however many nights we've been here. But I'll tell you one thing right now, you'll never be used of God until you learn to control this thing that God's put on your face. Amen. I got news for you. I'm glad every now and then, you know what, when he puts that on there, I'm glad, praise God, he's got a discipline. He said, let me tell you something, I'm the one in charge now. I'm the one calling the shots. I'm thankful that God had a work for us, and I'm glad he gives us the ability to bring our flesh into discipline and bring our flesh into submission and be used and walk in the Spirit of Almighty God. Amen. The harness of God gives discipline. Number two, it gives direction. My daddy, when he'd harness them horses up, I never saw him do this. He never flung the barn door up and said, all right, fellas, I'll see you later this evening. Y'all just go on. I'll see you later today. No, because he knew those animals didn't know what field to go to. They didn't even really have a desire to go to a field. But when he put the harness on them, you see, the master guided every step they took. Boy, I like that where the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Heck, if you are in the harness hooked up with God, he'll order your steps. You say, I don't believe a word of that, preacher. You tell me how in the world I ended up in South Carolina preaching. I have no idea. I didn't know you people existed. I didn't know there's any place called Cherokee County or Union County. I knew nothing about that. I'm from the hills of East Tennessee. I thought, this is the first time I've ever been out of the United States, praise God, by the way. Amen. 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 I always like to tell that little joke everywhere I go, praise God. But I thought, how in the world does a hillbilly boy from Tennessee end up down here with a bunch of fanning folks from South Carolina and gnats eating us up, sitting on metal chairs till your rear end's numb and you don't even know you got one? How does that happen? I'll tell you, because one day I got saved by the grace of God and I hooked up with him. And I said, Lord, I don't know what field you want me in, but whatever field you send me to, I'm willing to go pull. Amen. I don't know about you, praise God, but thank God I'm glad he gives direction tonight. Amen. I had a preacher friend of mine. He's been in evangelism. He's probably been preaching 60 years. And he told me one day he likes to go to horse pulls and things like that. And he said, preacher, we were traveling, going to a meeting, and we stopped at a motel. And said we was checking in a motel late one Saturday evening. And we noticed they had a poster up in the lobby that they were having a horse pull down at the fairgrounds. And he said, I love them things. And he said, but it had already started. I could tell on the poster it had already started. And I told my friend, I said, if we check in real quick, we might get there and catch the last part of that horse pull. He said, so we did. We checked in real quick. So we got down to the fairgrounds and said, sure enough, we were getting right there at the end of it. I mean, we just got to the end of it. And hallelujah, did we blow something up? Praise God. And he said, we got there at the end of it and said, what we did, we got there and they had two teams of horses left to pull in the pull. And whoever was, whichever team won the pulling that night got the trophy. He said they'd had all those teams pull and they'd eliminated it down to two teams. He said they had a big team of horses and a small team of horses. He said they kind of flipped a coin to see which one would pull first. He said they were going to see which one it was. And said the coin flip caused it so that the big team of horses had to pull forward first. Said they gave the signal to the owner and he brought the horses out, the bigger team, and hooked them up to the weight. And he said he waited on them to give the signal to begin pulling the weight that they had on them. He said all of a sudden they gave the signal, they gave the sound of the horn or something. And said all of a sudden, said that fella started slapping the reins on those horses and yelling at them. And said, man, those horses started fighting and pulling. Man, they were struggling. I mean, pulling that weight, and they were giving everything they had. And said they pulled it as far as they could pull it. And finally he had to stop and they had to unhook the horses. He said, finally it come time for the smaller team to pull. And said as they walked out on the... that day, he said the owner of the animals said he walked out there with that smaller team of horses and said that when they hooked him up to the weight, he stood there and waited on the signal to pull. And he said all of a sudden they gave the signal and the sound of the horn. And he said, preacher, I don't know what that man said to those horses. But he said all of a sudden they gave him the signal, said he just stood there just a minute, looked the crowd over, and said just a moment he spoke and said something to those horses so softly that I couldn't hear it from where I was at. And he said when he did, both of those horses just stepped up and they tightened up the trace chains and just stood still. He looked the crowd over again. Then all of a sudden he spoke to them again. He said all of a sudden those horses started pulling in unison. And said that little team of horses, when it was all said and done, ended up pulling the weight farther than the big team of horses. He said, preacher, he said, the Lord really spoke to my heart that night. He said, you know what? That one team, the master was beating on them and thrashing on them and yelling at them. And they were struggling and fighting. But he said that other team said the master just spoke to them softly. And they was able to step out and do what God wanted. I don't know about you, but if I got to be in the harness, I don't want God to have to whip me to get me to do what he wants me to. I want to be the kind of Christian that can hear a still small voice, amen. I want to be able to hear him, amen, when he gives direction to my life, amen. The harness of God is for our discipline. It's for our direction. It'll help our determination. You know, the pulling, when my dad would take them horses out to plow, sometimes the ground was soft and the pulling was easy. Them old horses just click right along and wouldn't strain them any. But every now and then they'd hit a rocky patch and the ground would be a little hard. And that old harness would tighten up on them horses when they would hit the hard places. And it seemed like then that those old horses sensed that the pulling was going to be a little harder than it had been all day long. And I've seen them old horses seem like they give everything they had when they hit the rocky patch. Boy, I tell you what, we need some folks to not in the harness in our churches. Anybody can jump in the church when the pulling's easy, when the ground's soft and everything's going smoothly, but you let the church hit a rocky patch. You let the ground get just a little bit hard. Now, them horses wasn't Baptists because they'd have said, you know what, we didn't sign up for this. We're going back to the barn. But you know the reason they didn't go back to the barn when they hit the rocky patch? Because they were in the harness. The harness kept them in the field. You know what will keep you in the field when you're weary and tired and you hit the hard times of life? It'll be the harness of God that keeps you in the fight. Amen. When you don't feel like it, when you don't want to do it. Boy, I'm glad that God gives us His Word and His Spirit to keep us in the field and do His will. Amen. Oh, it's not only the harness. God gives determination. But I'm glad it does this. It helps eliminate distractions in our life if we're getting the harness. This old bridle I'm holding here, if you can see it real good, it's a special kind of bridle. It's called a blinder bridle. Matter of fact, on each side of this, it's got a piece of leather right about where the eyeballs of that animal is. And when you put that on that animal, he can't see behind him. He can't see to this side. He can't see to that side. His focus is on the end of the row. There's a lot of Baptist folk I know need to get in the harness tonight. Because some of them, all they can see is what's behind them. How it used to be and what we used to do and all the preacher we used to have and all those things that's behind you. And sometimes all the troubles of this life get our attention pulled this way and pulled that way. But I believe the Apostle Paul was in the harness when he said, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul knew what it was. He said, fellas, I've got my sights on the end of the row. I've got my sights on a heavenly prize. I'm not looking back. I'm not looking to the right. I'm not looking to the left, but I'm serving God. Hallelujah. I'm gonna get the distractions out of my life. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? It eliminates distractions. The harness will help distribute the load over the entire body. Well, that's needed in church. Do you realize it's not just your preacher's job to carry the load at your church? You do realize y'all need to get in the harness and help him. Amen. Amen. Praise God for the few that's still listening tonight. Amen. Y'all shouted me on three nights and now we're trying to get you in the harness. Praise God. And you're spitting the bit out. Amen. Amen. I mean, if there's ever been a day that help is needed in the local church, I'm talking about stuff that most time you wouldn't even think really matters. But when your preacher gets up to preach, you ought to nod your little head and say amen. You say, but I don't really like what he says half of the time. Say amen anyway, amen. Amen. Praise God. Some say, we're trying to get rid of our preacher. Well, if you'd shout, he'd probably have a heart attack and die, and you can get you a new one. Because he sure wouldn't be expecting it from you, praise God. Matter of fact, some of y'all could kill your preacher up by just showing up once in a while. That'd give him a heart attack too. I'm talking about, you know, that harness. My daddy never did take them horses out there and tie a rope to a plow and then tie a rope to their tail, because he knew that would injure that animal. But if you put the harness on them and put that there, put that collar on them and put the chains just right, it helps distribute the load over the entire body of that animal. And let me tell you something right now. I got news for you, praise God. We need to get in the harness to be able to help in the work of Almighty God. Amen. It'll help distribute the load. It'll help with our discipline. It'll help eliminate distractions. It helps with our determination. And then it also helps with a display to a lost and dying world. What do you mean, preacher? There's a famous team of horses. And before I even call their name, most of y'all know the horses I'm talking about. Probably the most famous horses in the world. I don't like the company that owns them. Don't like the product that they sell. Matter of fact, I'm totally against it. But there's a team of horses called the Clydesdales. Magnificent animals, beautiful animals. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen the Clydesdales out in public with old ratty, worn-out looking harness on? No, and you won't. Because you see, they're being portrayed as an image that this company is trying to portray to the world. This is the standard. You see at Christmas and they run the commercials of those Clydesdales pulling the sleigh in the snow, and how beautiful, what an image they're portraying there. I know a preacher that he used to be with the fire department up in North Carolina in the town he lived in, and they were all the time doing fundraisers, and they wanted to do a fundraiser for the fire department, and they decided to have a horse pull, and somebody got the idea, said, why don't we contact them and see what it would cost us to get them to bring the Clydesdales as the main attraction for this. And they contacted them, and it was fairly reasonable, and they said, we'll bring them. So they agreed to bring these animals to the place up there that they were having this. And this preacher, he helped oversee. He met this team of men that brought these horses, and this is what he told me. He said, preacher, there was a team of three men that brought those horses, and said, all those men are paid full-time. They're highly paid by this company to take care of these animals. He said every one of these men had a specific duty that they took care of in caring for these animals. He said one man was just there. He was a dietitian that made sure that their food and their water and everything they consumed was just exactly right. They had to be just right. He said one of them was to make sure he was the one that put the harness on them and had got them ready. But he said the other man, this was his job, full time. This is what they paid this man, high dollar, to do. After the harness was on them, before they could go out in public view, it was that man's job to go over every inch of the harness to make sure that a human fingerprint could not be seen on it. You think about that one right there. I mean, they said, we want to portray an image that you can't see the imprint of man on it. Wouldn't it be good if those of us who are saved would say, I sure would like to have something that when a lost world looks at my life, they don't see the imprint of man, but they see the hand of Almighty God. When they look, they say, ain't no way man could have done that for that old boy. Ain't no way man could have cleaned him up. Ain't no way man could have changed him like this. I don't know about you, praise God, but there's a lost world looking at your service. There's a lost world that's looking to see if you're hooked up tonight. Hey, they know you go to church. They know your name's on the roll, but they're wanting to see if you're really active in anything you say you believe. Amen. I don't know about you, praise God, but I want to get in the harness. And I want a lost world to see what Jesus has done for me. It eliminates distraction. It's good for display. And last of all, the harness of God. When I think about this, the harness of God is for our delight. What do you mean, preacher? He used to sing a song years ago, then we'll be glad we live for Jesus. One endless day of perfect joy. Then we'll be glad we live for Jesus. Boy, I'm glad now, but thank God when you get to heaven, if you've been hooked up with Him, you better believe you're going to be glad when you get there. My old daddy, he would plow them horses all day, work them, and they'd give him a good day's work. But he'd come up till it's close to the end of the day, and the sun's starting to go down. And they'd come to the end of the row. My old daddy had unhooked the weight that those horses had been pulling all day long. Can I say to you, church, we're very close tonight to getting unhooked from the weight that we're carrying. Some of y'all right now came in here with such a load you couldn't hardly go. I got news for you. We're close to the end of the row. I believe Jesus is soon to come. Some of y'all said, I don't know how much longer I can make it. You don't have to make it too much longer. We're just about to the house. And my daddy unhooked the weight that them old animals had been pulling. He'd leave the plow behind. He'd take them back to the barn and he'd take them in. And he'd take the harness off and hang it up on the wall. My old daddy had an old brush, and it almost like he was wanting to thank him horses for it. I mean, their old aching muscles, he'd just rub them down. I mean, he'd brush them down real good, almost as if to say, thank you, fellas, for a good day's work. And then my daddy, he always fed his horses good, but on the days he worked them hard, he had a little extra special feed. He'd throw it in the box for them, that just little extra in the box. Man, they'd worked hard all day. Little extra in the box. Them old horses would stand there and they'd enjoy the fruits of their labor. Can I say to you, if my daddy cared that much about his horses, I promise you this, there's a God in heaven that's watching your labor. There's a God in heaven that's keeping good books about what you're doing for Him. Some of you right now think, Nate, nobody knows what I'm doing. Nobody sees what I'm doing. Nobody knows the load I'm carrying. I've got news for you. We're serving a master tonight that if you're hooked up with Him, you're in the harness with Him, I'm glad He's got a reward waiting on us at the end of the row. Hallelujah to His name. I'm glad He's got a table prepared for us. And one of these days He's going to step out and we're going to meet Him. Amen. Hallelujah to His name. But until that day, He said, come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And then He said, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. I tell you, it was a happy day that I got saved by the grace of God. But just as happy a day was the day that I said, Lord, here I am, I ain't much. I can't do much, Lord. You know I'm limited. But if You can use me, here I am. And God, it's not about me no more. You're the one calling the shots. And I'm just going to try to walk with You and follow where You lead me. And I tell you what, God's blessed my life. And I thank Him for it. And you know what? He'll not only do it for me, He'll do it for you. But you got to hook up with Him tonight. You got to take His yoke upon you. And say, God, I want You to use me. God, I want You to... Lord, I know the field I want to go to, but I want to go to the field You want me to go to. Lord, I know what my old nature wants to do, but Lord, I want Your harness to help me subdue my old nature. And I want to be able to follow You. Let's bow our head tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask you tonight, as we stand to our feet and heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I know many of you tonight are saved by the grace of God, and I'm thankful for that. And I know some of you tonight, and you say, preacher, well, I'm doing my best to serve the Lord. But I wonder how much you've really thought about taking His yoke upon you. I wonder how much you've really thought about saying, some of you say, well, I fight some battles and struggles. Preacher, I tell you, the only way you're ever going to win them is to take His yoke upon you. Some of you right now, the flesh is giving you a battle, and you're being pulled by the flesh and the things of the world and the things of the flesh. The only way you're ever going to subdue it, friend, is the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And you're going to have to put the harness on tonight if you're going to get help. You're here tonight. Say, preacher, I don't know what
what direction God has for my life. I just don't know. Sometimes I feel like I wander aimlessly. I got news for you. If you want direction tonight, take His yoke upon you. Because the Master will tell you. He'll guide you. He'll lead you. He'll show you what He wants you to do. And I wonder tonight, you might be here to say, Preacher, I want God to direct my life. Preacher, I want God to show me. I want God to lead me. Preacher, I don't want it to be just about me. I don't want it to be just about my desires. But I want to be submissive to the will of God in my life. I wonder how many more would come and bow here in this altar. Some's already praying here. And if God speak to your heart, y'all step out tonight. Some of y'all tonight say, I tell you what I want to do. I want to get in a harness. I want to help my church. I want to help my preacher. I want to help my Sunday school teacher. I want to help those who labor. I just want to be a help to those I work with. I want to find my place in the heart. I want God's yoke upon me. I want God to help me. And I want Him to use me to be a blessing and help to others. Anybody else tonight? Anybody else? I'm going to pray and I'm going to turn the invitation over to one of the preachers tonight. Father, we thank You for what You've done here tonight. Lord, I pray, speak to hearts now. Continue to do a work in the hearts and lives of Your people. God, help us all, Lord, to yoke up with You tonight. Get in the harness and God, accomplish Your will in our life. And Father, we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name, come on, preacher.
Number 142, turn in your songbooks as we stand here tonight. What the man of God has told us tonight, it's a whole lot easier when we're yoked up with Him.